When dealing with narcissists, one of the most challenging aspects is their behavior, especially when you start to distance yourself, start to show them that you know their game. They can't control you with their words anymore. And sometimes some resort to physical violence. Narcissists often engage in a tactic called smear campaigns to discredit and defame those who no longer serve their needs or challenge their narrative. We can see this on the world stage playing out right now. It's quite amazing. So this is sign 48 out of 50. I'm doing this weekly to share with you signs you may be dealing with a narcissist compared to maybe just a random, regular, you know, hurt person. So in this episode, we're going to explore this behavior of smear campaigning, and I'm going to provide you with insights into how to handle it. Welcome back to the Empath and Narcissist Podcast, where I share messages about spiritual healing from narcissistic abuse with human design. Because I believe your karmic experience has awakened you to your authentic soul, you just need the map to call your power back. I am your host, Raven Scott, and I'm an author and trauma-informed
spiritual mentor.
All right, so understanding smear campaigns first probably would be a good one. You don't need to be a politician to understand smear campaigns, but essentially what it is, it's a deliberate and systematic attempt to damage your reputation by spreading malicious lies or gossip. The narcissist often uses this tactic when they feel their control over you is slipping away. And also, if you are starting to have conversations with people in your circles you're interconnected with about how you're struggling with the relationship, how you just can't get through to them, and you're not trying to smear them at all, you're just trying to figure out what's wrong and what's going on. So they don't want their perception of being perfect to be threatened in your circles. So they start to say things, I guess you could call it like gossip behind your back, saying things about you like, oh, you know, you should feel really bad for her because she kind of has a mental health issue. Like she's a little cuckoo. She's a little crazy. I know. I live with her, right? So they start to spread rumors and lies about you to smear your image and to regain power and even just to regain, like, I guess, establish and plant seeds that they are the victim once you do leave or once they decide to discard you. It's all plotted and planned to make sure that they remain to look perfect. So let's go through some of these signs that the narcissist is smear campaigning against you. So for the first one is rumors and lies. Narcissists, they spread these lies in order to keep their role as the victim, to keep their sob story going, and to not take any responsibility. So they'll spread false information about you. They will portray you in a negative light that you don't do this for them or you don't do that or you're not a good partner or whatever the thing is. And meanwhile, you're over here busting your butt, like working really hard, trying to please them as best as you can, and nothing is making them happy. And you, dear empath, are ready to break free. So if you are stuck and done with the pain of PTSD and the narcissist lies, gaslighting, and manipulation, then you should grab this free 10 Steps to Break Free ebook that I've written and a 10-day audio coaching series for your healing journey. It will show you how to overcome the pain of narcissistic abuse and be on your path to be narc-free. Grab that in the link in the show notes today. The other thing is isolation. This probably is not really applied to the smear campaign. This applies to how they get you away from your circles in the first place in order to continue to manipulate you. But they may try to isolate you from your support network. This is another tactic to gain control over you, not so much to smear you, because that means that you'd have to have mutual friends. What's strange about my case is I didn't have a lot of mutual friends, just his particular mutual friends. All of my friends, he did not want to be friends with, so we didn't have mutual friends in my circles. but he did isolate me away from my friends. Anything outside of his network was not approved. It was like our super strict insurance policy. That's funny when I said that. I was like, wow, reminds me of insurance. But yeah, if I had a friend who would say, oh, you know what, he shouldn't be treating you like that, he should be treating you better, he then would actually do a smear campaign about them, defame them, discredit them, and then I would turn around and be against, you know, my friends and my family for saying that. How dare you say that? He has the best intentions. He knows what's best for me. He loves me, yada, yada, right? All the things. The 48th sign that you're dealing with a narcissist in this smear campaign is then gaslighting. So let's say the truth comes back to you from friends and family. Hey, he's saying something or she's saying something about you. That's not really nice. It's very gossipy. And like, is this true? Are you really like a little bit cuckoo and you need some medicine? You don't need to go to therapy? And you're like, oh my gosh, I don't know what you're talking about. And then you go and you address and you confront, you know, your partner about this. And then they start to gaslight you. Gaslighting is a form of, I guess, manipulation is what automatically pops out in my head. But it is the tactic for the narcissist to make you feel crazy. This is the narcissist is saying, hey, like, I didn't say that. I don't know. They're lying to you. I never said that to them. I would never talk bad about you. And so then you're kind of like left in this relationship feeling kind of crazy. Like, I'm pretty sure that my friends and family wouldn't lie to me, but then you're convinced, the narcissist convinced you that they did lie to you and that that didn't really happen. And gaslighting also makes you doubt yourself. Leon R. Walker is interjecting. He actually was on our podcast a while back, and he himself has been diagnosed and he's out here spreading awareness. I think that's probably part of the isolation as well. They make you doubt yourself and then get mad at your friends and family for saying something like gossiping bad about you. But actually, in reality, it was the narcissist who started the smear campaign. And then you get mad at them and you kind of like stop talking to them and you isolate yourself away from them, which could be another dangerous idea about this whole like icing everyone out of our lives in social media or the go no contact. I think certain people definitely you should go no contact, but be careful about just ignoring a difficult conversation that could save you from being isolated and push further and further into a narcissistic abusive relationship. So projection, narcissists often project their own negative thoughts and traits onto you, especially accusing you of being the guilty one in this bad behavior. And so this smear campaign really is in front of you in the relationship. And then it's also in front of everyone else through public shaming. They shame you either, you know, because you're on social media too much, you don't stay up late with them, you know, you're a softy, you're too emotional, you're too sensitive, like all the things. And so the smear campaign, this number 48 out of 50, is a hard one because you know the truth and you hope that everyone else knows the truth, but it's really off-putting when they start to believe the very charming and convincing narcissist. This reminds me of gate 60 in the human design chart. If you'd like to pull out your chart and see, I don't have this defined and circled in, which maybe a lot of us who really struggle with this concept of acceptance, right? The gate 60 in the root center, that bottom square is the gate of acceptance. If we have this undefined, meaning it's not circled in, then it is something that we get to kind of experience when we're around somebody with it. And also we can work on having it within ourselves with some conscious mindfulness. It doesn't come natural to us, if that makes sense. So let me share with you what it is. Gate 60 is acceptance. In the I Ching, it's called limitation. It is a Capricorn and Aquarius cusp zodiac energy. And in the shadow of acceptance, we feel limited, right? The narcissist has smeared the campaign. We're going crazy. We don't know who to believe. We're stuck in this, you know, narcissistic relationship. And we're like, do I go? Do I stay? Do I go? And like, we feel limited in the shadow. The gift of this lesson is the true realism, the reality that smacks us in the face or whacks us in the head. And the enlightenment is justice. That's all we want is justice. And sometimes we're stuck in the shadow of limitation, like it's never going to be fair. The smear campaign, right? So it's important for us to lean into developing acceptance to both yourself, the situation you're in, and how to get out of it, the external conditions of life that you can't control, the narcissist from being so mean and unfair and lying about you, and you're kind of resisting it, and you're maybe getting angry and holding the anger in your body or blowing up at other people that are believing the narcissist. You have this limitation. It really signifies understanding the limitation. So if you don't have this circled, you don't understand those limitations. You don't recognize that there are boundaries to what can be changed or controlled. So you're constantly trying to change and control the narcissist, but you don't recognize that you can't, right? So you need to learn contentment and finding peace within this current situation. Like, okay, this person's just is what it is. They're just NPD, right? They just have a disorder and I can't change them. They're not going to be reasonable like you or have empathy or care. So you have to learn patience. Patience is hard. It's more of a virtue. If you don't have this defined, you don't have it readily available. Be willing to wait. Be willing to be calm. And in the moment when you're feeling this pain of the narcissist smear campaign, you feel like it's never going to rectify, right? Justice will never be served. And you have zero patience. Like you don't see the end result or the big picture. But it's important to learn to let go of that control. In Gate 60, you can learn to let go. Like this energy is, if you have it defined, is the energy of letting go of the need to control every aspect of life, surrendering to the natural flow of events. And especially with this abuse and with a narcissist. So I want to leave you with an affirmation here in Gate 60 to hold on tight to and reaffirm and rewrite and consciously develop within yourself if you don't have this gate circled in. And it's a reminder for all of you who do have it circled in that may be a little bit in your shadow of limitation. So with patience and acceptance, I embrace the limitations of the present moment, finding contentment and wisdom in every circumstance. And that's on page 239 of my book, the newest book, Empath's Guide to Rising Strong. It's a human design guide book for self-discovery and healing from narcissistic abuse. So it's important to stay calm. How do we handle the smear campaign? Well, the other thing too that the narcissist wants you to do is to react. It's called reactive abuse. And they want you to get upset and to throw a fit and to act crazy, because then they're like, oh, see, she's crazy. I told you she needs to take medicine and she needs to go to therapy. And so they have created this situation that is infuriating to you. Yet when you react, they point that out as evidence. So it's really important to handle this smear campaign by staying calm. Stay calm. It's natural to feel upset. Right? So what are our healthy mechanisms or healthy tools in order for you to stay calm? Take a deep breath. Walk, take a walk outside. Find some space. Return yourself back to calm and composure. Ironically, that was the first name of the podcast, Return to Calm. Return yourself back into a state of emotional regulation. So maybe you need to go outside, and I know my favorite thing is to take a walk because I can get that left-right brain going. If you have more anger, maybe you need to go kick a soccer ball, or I guess that's more related to like kids, but I'm sure our inner child needs that, right? Run, deep breaths, find a quiet space to do maybe a really deep grounding meditation. Go to some water, a body of water. And with this smear campaign, I would also say be patient with those who are believing the narcissist lies. Don't obviously disclose too much information to them at the moment. Be careful, but also just understand that if you fell in love with this person and they were a con artist, then for sure your friends and family are easily going to be duped as well. Like, they're experts at this. So give some patience and some grace, but also be careful. Document everything. Keep a record of any communication and incidents or evidence that disproves the narcissist's claims, and seek support. Really lean into trusted friends who can see through the BS of the narcissist, a therapist who's trauma-informed for support, and if you have family who also sees it, you are truly blessed to have that support system. As it is important, we cannot go through these hard feelings alone. And I just emailed out to the empath community a quote that I wrote down from Dr. Becky Kennedy. I just discovered her. She's she's a psychologist who helps parents with children. But she said, feeling alone in our feelings gives us problems, right? So don't isolate yourself. Don't feel alone in your problems, because that's going to cause you more suffering and heartache. Setting boundaries is, of course, a real, like we always say, set boundaries. How do you do that with a smear campaign? I think it's a personal boundary to start saying less, being more gray rock, and rather than saying more. So that is a personal boundary I would suggest to establish. With the narcissist, maybe you establish clear boundaries like, do not talk to my parents about me negatively, or in general about me, you know? And if you do, then there will be a consequence, and establish whatever that consequence is. It's kind of like you have to treat them like a child. It's not like a punishment, but just a consequence. Like, this is my clear boundary. This is your next step to defeating the narcissist. Learn how to master your boundaries, how to release responsibility for another's emotional response, how to feel the power of your self-sovereignty, free yourself from narcissistic abuse, and draw long-lasting, powerful boundaries. Get your free How Empaths Can Draw Powerful Boundaries workshop now at ravenscott.show/free-workshop. And then you have to follow through with that action. So think through it clearly. What makes sense for you and your boundaries? And maybe you have to draw boundaries with certain friends and family who are believing their lies. Maybe that's the boundary you give to them, because they're not so narcissistic and they probably might actually be open a little bit to those. Be like, hey, you know what? Like, we have a lot of stuff that we're working on going on in our house and the relationship. And if, you know, he or she brings up anything negative or concerning about our relationship, I just ask that you refrain from engaging in that conversation. We're handling it. You know, maybe you could even say, we're going to seek professional help. If you do or don't, doesn't matter. Like, it's not their place to be the counselor. I think a lot of people feel like they get put into this counselor or therapist role without actually being trauma-informed and knowing what they're getting themselves into with a narcissist. So that could be a great boundary to ask your friends and family, just to say, hey, don't engage in a conversation about our relationship with them. And that could nip things in the butt if you have a supportive friend and family circle. Of course, don't engage in arguments and try and defend yourself, because you will then be invoked into this reactionary anger and frustration, which then they will call you out as being the bad one, or call you out as being the narcissist because you're reacting. So there's my little quick tip for you today. And the sign number 48 out of 50 that you're dealing with a narcissist is you are dealing with rumors and lies and isolation from a smear campaign, public shaming. So remember, the goal of a smear campaign is to control and manipulate you. So understand their tactics, gain knowledge, stay grounded and calm, and you can protect your sanity and eventually possibly your reputation with some people and not so much with others. And the people that it didn't, you know, stick and they didn't believe you, then that's just another test or a weeding process of who truly is trusted and is supportive in your life. And surround yourself with positive people who understand you and focus on your well-being, who engage with you energetically both ways, who have empathy. And in time, the narcissist's efforts will lose their power and you can move forward with your life free from their toxic influence. And if you wish to grab that 10 steps how to break free from the narcissist, it's a guide and a 10-day audio coaching. You can grab that for free in the link in the show notes. Thank you so much for listening and subscribing to this podcast. Please help us grow and reach more survivors that are seeking spiritual growth by sharing this and tagging me at Empath of the Narcissist Podcast on Instagram. You can even send it via text. However you want to share it, you go share away. And don't forget to subscribe. Hey, if you're feeling extra generous, please write a review to the podcast. This really does help in social proof. We're up to 100 reviews. I never thought I'd ever see that number. So thank you so much for that. So speaking of ads and offerings, you can dive deeper with me through my first book, Empath of the Narcissist. It is a profound exploration of my story, my healing journey, and a whole bunch of different elements that I've discovered on my healing path to help you heal from narcissistic abuse and empower you. So you can also listen to that on Audible. My second book is a new book, baby. It is Empath's Guide to Rising Strong. And you can grab your paperback of that human design guidebook. It includes shadow work with Goddess Inanna, as well as moon rituals and guided meditations and a whole breadth of understanding your human design chart. You can grab all these books in the link in the show notes. And if you're listening to this before March 30th, you can grab your free ebook copy to read my new book, Baby, Empath's Guide to Rising Strong. And when you review, write a review and let me know you're entered to win. I'll be pulling 3 lucky subscribers a signed paperback copy from me. So grab your free ebook below to read and review and enter to win. And as always, we'll see you tomorrow in an episode. Remember, always keep your unique light shining.